Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Your Boys from the Paper Trails Podcast. I'm your host, Shamaki, joined by my co-host, Mo. Here we are again, eh?
Yep.
Keeping it going, keeping it rolling.
Of course, of course.
And we've got a very personal one for you guys today.
Yeah?
I would say so. I feel like this one here is probably one that I've been thinking about for a while. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So, what? The book that we're covering is How to Stop Worrying and Start Living by Daniel Carnegie. Is the name Daniel Carnegie?
Dale Carnegie.
Is it not Carnegie, though?
No, it's Carnegie.
Carnegie, yeah.
He said it. I think he said it himself in the
Okay, Dale Carnegie.
An author we've covered before.
Yeah, on...
How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, so he was basically like a psychologist kind of guy. Back in the day, he was doing self-help books and stuff like that before it was even a thing. When Mo suggested it to me, I was like, okay, cool, this is a
interesting one.
It's a good one. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, it's kind of like this is something that I feel like I needed right now.
Me too. I was,
you know what I mean? I think so, because for me as a creative,
he loves a bit of that.
Huh?
I'm gonna do a compilation of as a creative over the season.
No, because this is for our creative family.
Yes,
but I feel like a lot of the time, especially when you haven't, we're kind of like new again.
Yeah, of course.
But like, it's that constant worry about getting to that position quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, when you do the podcast, when you make a video, or even when you're writing and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
you're constantly worried about, is this going anywhere? And then therefore you stop what you're doing immediately before it even gains any traction, before it even gains any stuff like that. And I felt like just listening to this, just having audio book that we were listening to, the guy that was narrating has a very like,
I think it is
American. Nah, I doubt it's him.
I think it's him.
Is it him?
Yeah, I think it is.
Wow. Okay, well, yeah, he's got a very calming voice anyway.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like the type of person that you want to hear calm yourself down from, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why when you sent it to me, I was like, yeah, I can't wait to read this or listen to it and then to digest and, you know, tell you guys some of my outtakes from it. How about yourself? How would you say?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's funny because like, we always talk about this as a creative side of thing. But I didn't even think about it in that way at all while I was listening to it. Because, for me, I was just like, I'm getting by. I feel like the common thing with a lot of our generation is housing costs. Mm. Everything is getting expensive. Living is expensive.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the main worry lies in.
Yeah.
In society and in me, definitely that's a constant worry for me as well.
Absolutely.
Like obviously providing for the family and all this stuff where I've always been like, oh, I'm just gonna continue working, like just grinding just so I can get by and help the family out.
Yeah.
And like how far that will go, I never kind of knew and took a moment to think about it and pause and like that worry's always been underlying for me.
Mm-hmm.
And like then you obviously occasionally have like the occasional like family something happens like whether it's positive or negative where large financial draw, so I don't know if I'm being honest if it's purely monetary for me, but I would say where's my money gonna come from in the long term?
No, but like that's because that's how I felt, because the only reason why I say the creative thing is because I feel like that's where money could come from.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? That's where I feel like I would like to be earning as a profession the bulk of my money.
For me, it's not like this. Pursuit. It's not the sake of I want to make enough money for it to be the bulk of my money.
Mm.
Is I want to make enough money from my creative pursuits to survive kind of thing. But then, like sometimes I don't even think about where it could really take me if I thought about it in an expansive way where like I become rich from it, wealthy from it.
Mm.
I'm more thinking about can I match my current salary with like doing work in the creative field, where that's where like I worry a lot about these things and like especially like leaving my career and like diving into starting something new. That's another thing that he talked about, like just regret.
Yeah,
I don't have a lot of regrets, but I do have like deep lingering feelings.
Mm.
Which I wouldn't call regret, but it's just
when you
more
say deep lingering feelings. What do you mean?
Like about like my career direction.
Yeah.
Where I don't feel envious of other people. I don't like regret the things that I've worked done so far, because I do feel like I've learned a lot from it in my life and developed a lot. But I just feel like, but what if I did something different, and what if I start fresh now, where will I be?
Yeah,
like, I do worry about that a lot. Like, it's not so much monetary for me, I would say, at this point anyway. But obviously I've been doing a lot of things in the background now to set myself up in such a way that I don't have to rely on one job to produce an income. And that's where like my worries change a lot. And I come from a family who worry a lot as well. We're gonna discuss it. We talked about it during the car ride. Like, health is such an important thing as well. Like, for me, I just want to be in a place where I feel healthy, feel stable financially. I don't want to aspire to like greatness, and I don't even mind doing creative. Like, I'm at a point where I feel like I'm happy to be creative as a hobby. I like just something that slows me down every now and then. I want to find gratitude and wealth in other ways where I don't feel like it has to come from one place. Because I feel like that mindset makes me feel a bit more limited to saying career this. Where I want to feel like I can bounce around in my life and do different things and not worry all the time about what's next, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think I'll also touch up on a bit of what you said, but also from my aspect in terms of the thing, I have to say majority of it is monetary. I feel like...
You got to be honest.
I'd be like 95% of my problems would be solved if there was money.
And 95% of people would say the same thing.
You know what I mean? Like, I had a talk today with my mum about family members in Somalia that needed help. And it's kind of like, obviously you will help them, but it's like if you had that amount that would stop the help.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Rather than
teach them
just
how to fish
supplement
instead of giving them
actually, you know, giving them something like, here's this, start that with it. You know what I mean? Something like more in that sense.
Even a simple thing like could be a set of laptops that could transform a whole little village.
Yeah, no, of course.
Eventually.
Yeah, and so it's like kind of like, so then when you, it's like I go home and stuff like that, and it's just like the worry or the problem is in front of my face like every single time. Do you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like in terms of like the financial, the monetary gain.
Yeah.
Would alleviate all the worries. Essentially.
You mean the problem is in being. Like just being wealthy.
Huh?
The problem of not being wealthy. Basically.
The problem, yeah. You know, it's like, was it Everybody's Christmas? One of them, but it was, they were essentially talking about that aspect of it, of like, if you had the money, then there wouldn't be these fights inside the house kind of situation. And not saying that there's fighting in the house, in my household, no, but it's just kind of like there is that unspoken thing of, okay, we need to step it up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it then comes back to the creativity kind of aspect of kind of like not necessarily it. I mean, kind of how you said to pop about and do different other kind of different things. My question to that is like right now to get yourself out of that position. You wouldn't be able to. I mean, I don't know. Actually, maybe would you be able to bounce about different things, or would you like to focus on one set thing to get you out of that, to then focus on the other stuff?
It's more like, for me, is a case of finding contentment in my current situation. In terms of, okay, I'm doing this. I don't need to be stressed or worried about it all the time. And I can move on to something else, and I have the option.
Like
to,
if you wanted to,
I have the option to restart.
Could. Yeah.
And be successful. Like there's a lot of different things that, like the books we've read in recent times. Like it feels like, I don't know, because I feel like I've recommended a lot of these more self-help books this season. I don't know why.
Because to be fair, I don't really listen to
it, which I don't normally.
Yeah.
But I'm in a period in my life where I feel like I'm learning a lot more about myself again. Like just the last year has just been, I've just had so many different experiences that are just completely new to me in the last 10 years, I'd say.
Yeah.
So like I feel like I'm in a period where I'm just like I'm forcing myself to learn different ways of finding ways to survive and remove these kind of worries from my head. So like for me, like I don't remember what book it was, but it was talking about how you can take life in like 5-year periods where like you can kind of get semi level of success if you just stick to one thing every 5 years.
Yeah.
Like obviously they can't just be like completely unrelated.
Yeah.
But if they have a similar like set of soft skills, people skills, and a similar level of similar set of like criteria to do those to do those careers, you can kind of mold in and mold out of those roles that you put yourself in, and not worry so much about being stuck in one, and also not worrying about not like being successful in one as well.
No, so, absolutely. And obviously, not to try and put too much worry on our audience, but we want to, because this is aesthetic productivity, but at the end of the day, we got to look at ourselves. Yeah, yeah, we got to have a good, so we want to take you guys along with us in this sense of like understanding yourself and understanding what your worries are necessarily. And then through the different tips and stuff we'll give in this book to hopefully try and find your way out in through that. So like, for example, with me, it's kind of like, you've mentioned some good stuff there, but like, it's kind of like, I want, you know how you said the 5-year increment thing, right? It's like, for me though, it's like, I want that like now. I want the, it's like the success of it, like, or where I want to be at is like, I'm very impatient for it.
Yeah.
Like, not so, like, impatient enough to the extent that it's like, the thought of constantly having to like understand that you're not there and you're nowhere near there and you have to like keep on at it is crippling enough.
Yeah, not to do anything.
Not to do anything.
Yeah.
So then there was like one of the first things that he said in his book that helped me in that aspect was, he was actually talking about that. He was kind of talking about how like a lot of people, their worries come from either thinking too much about what's to come or thinking too much about what's happened in the past. But not thinking about what's today. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that Alice in Wonderland quote of like, jam, it's always jam tomorrow, jam yesterday, but never jam today.
Yeah.
No one cares about the jam you've got today, you know? So it's like kind of accepting that is like, okay, fine. The future is what it is. The past is what it was. But today is all you have. So you just have to take that one step forward now, whether it's like not a massive step that will quickly elevate you to the place that you're going, but it's just kind of like putting blinkers on, being like, this is, you know, this is the path you have to take in, and one step at a time to try and, you know what I mean?
I think it just keeps on coming back over in these different books that I'm reading. It just keeps on coming back. Dr. Peter Attia's Outlive, another, I think 4,000 Weeks it was called, I forgot who the author was. What was it? Ali Abdaal's book.
Yeah.
It keeps on coming back to acceptance of time. Time is always going to be limited.
Yeah.
Your life is always going to be limited. You could die any day.
Yeah.
So what's the use of worrying constantly about the future or the past? And yeah, I think it I think that's what the book is about in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But the title of How to Stop Worrying, it really does, I feel like, detail a lot of these different tips and advice that he's got, because everything is not going to work for everyone. So like, I think because we talked about on the way here, he said that like he goes in so much detail into like one specific point.
Yeah,
where I just feel like that's because it might not hit for some person the same way it hits for someone else, and for certain stories. And I think he tells so many stories in this book because one of them might relate to you, one of them might relate to someone else.
Like,
I think it was really interesting and well written.
No, of course.
But, it was just hitting the notes the whole time.
I've noticed. Yeah. You've been saying this has been hitting the spot, hitting the notes. Well, is this like a new kind of phrase that you decided to take up?
Push phrases, you know.
Hitting the disc, goodness me, bro.
Yeah, so I'm one of them guys. Like, if I was in a show, I'll be
that guy
like trying to break the fourth wall. Like, yeah, guys, remember this phrase?
Yeah, literally. But also, like one, I would say one example as well that he gave that was a really good one was about this guy that didn't know nothing about. He was like a salesman, and then he went into the trade of like being like a TNT mover or something like that. He like exports TNT.
Yeah.
So he's on this ship, and he's saying that the crew handlers were just like being dilly-dally with like how they were putting the TNT, and he was like, this would like blow you into smithereens if anything goes wrong, you know? And then he was saying that he was watching, his eyes were like wide open, his mouth was dry, his knees were buckling. He was like, yo, like, these guys look too like lackadaisical about what's about to happen here.
Yeah.
You know, and then he was like, then I like the phrases they use. He's like, I gave myself a good talking to.
Yeah.
And I told myself, listen, the worst thing that could happen is you die.
Yeah.
And it's like, the worst thing that could happen is you die and you won't even feel it.
Mm.
And if that did happen, then all stuff and all this kind of stuff like would be gone. You wouldn't even have time to think about the pain or any of this other stuff, right? And he was like, as morbid as it sounded, it was like comforting enough to accept the situation that he was in.
Mm-hmm.
So then as the hours went on and the days went on, because he had to be there for a few days, he was less and less anxious and less worried about the thing. So again, it comes back down to that acceptance things of like, okay, this is the situation, mm-hmm. right, that you are in now. The worst thing that could happen is XYZ. And he was actually, he was talking about like writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
So you said to...
Well, the main tips that he gives, like the main core tips that everyone should do, like if they're worrying too much.
Which was like...
what's the worst case scenario?
What am I worried about precisely? Yes. Like actually writing it down. What can I do about it? And then deciding what to do about it, and then going about what to do about it.
Yeah. When you're saying what am I worrying about, you have to get all the facts.
For everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because the more the trick is, the more you actually write about it, the more you realize either it's not that bad, or mm-hmm. the more your body subconsciously starts to accept.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is where it is right now.
And it's interesting because he starts with writing about it as the core principle, but later on he says, you know what? Some people don't even need to write about it. Start praying about it. Whether it doesn't matter what God you're praying to, whatever. There's a lot of like having faith in a higher power and like praying to someone, as in speaking, feeling like you're not alone, speaking your worries out to a higher power that you believe in, that can like scientifically alleviate your faith, which is funny because he quotes like different religions quite a lot. He probably quotes Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a lot. I think like five times in a book, and then he's quoting a lot about Jesus. He's a devout Christian himself, but it's just interesting to see him quoting so much like from other faiths and encouraging people to like just think about it from their point of view in terms of their faith perspective. So I thought that was interesting because he's like, okay, if you're not gonna write it, at least like pray on it. Like that's essentially what we do as Muslims. Like, he's literally saying like, tell your worries to the higher power if you can, because a lot of the time you might not want to tell your worries to someone who's close to you.
Someone, exactly.
Your wife, your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, whatever. So I thought that was very interesting as well.
Of course, or even like the expression of like gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Let's get on to that after.
Yeah, no, but I was just going to say in this point, like even like the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam telling us to say Alhamdulillah regardless of
whichever situation.
If it's a good thing, you say it, or like if it's a bad thing, you still say it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that in itself is a nutshell of actually helping to alleviate your worries, because it is acceptance. You are accepting that this is the situation I'm in, and this is what is going on, and to kind of, you know what I mean, help yourself mentally cope with what's happening.
Yeah. So before we dive a bit deeper into it, I had a question for you. You kind of answered it a bit, but like we talk about a bit about my relationship with worrying in the car a bit earlier, but I'll delve into that a bit deeper after. But like, what's your relationship with worrying? Like, did you grow up in a family that worried a lot? Did you yourself worry a lot growing up, or was there any phases in your life where you worried more than you did maybe now or before? And do you consciously? Are you aware that you're worrying as well? That's another thing.
That's a deep one. That I even want to talk about that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, that causes problems in the body. No, but I would say growing up, there weren't really many worries. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. Alhamdulillah, I was like thankful, like free from that. Essentially, there wasn't like a sense of like dread or like, oh, okay, this is, and we're not able to put things together. There was no means. There was no food. It was kind of, everything was like quite smooth sailing. I'd say the only time that I would proper like really really worried was when like we got hit with an eviction. And that one there, that's like, you know, I think you don't, again, it's all like, for me the main worries have circled around monetary stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think eviction is like something so, you feel so helpless.
Yeah.
In a way, you're like,
very vulnerable.
And on top of that, it's like kind of like, this is your house. This is your home. This is where you knew.
Yeah.
This is where you've grown up.
This is where the heart is.
Yeah, literally. And then you're like, oh wait, I have no shelter. Really? That's what you're telling me mm-hmm. right now, that mm-hmm. you're kicking me out of this. And then it's kind of like, it's just like a weird sinking kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you can't necessarily just be like, oh yeah, well, I'll just go to a friend's house or someone else's house, this and that. You can't really lumber your worries onto someone else. So you kind of have to.
Well, you can,
but like in a way, you don't really want to be pressing onto someone's, like, just like five people coming into someone else's house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So then it's kind of like, okay, cool, this is a very personal thing that you have to go through, you have to experience mm-hmm. courts and stuff like that. And like I remember sitting at one of the court like benches thing, mm-hmm. And we had like, I think someone that's from the council, like, you know, the free people yeah. the free lawyers that they give you. Not to diminish their role, they do great stuff for the community.
Yeah,
it was just her, and it was, she got the case like that morning, so she couldn't even come up with anything that great.
Yeah.
So she's like pleading for some case that's like essentially dead in the water. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, I can see like the landlords, people like this in suits, looking like Harvey Specter and stuff like that. I'm like, damn, and he's standing up, oh, this and that, blah, 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 talking. And then I was like, yeah, that was finished here. Yeah. I mean, so that I would say was like probably the biggest worrying aspect of like thing, because it was just kind of a case of like, what happens now? Where do you, like, you can kick off of everything mm-hmm. if you have somewhere to live.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like the Maslow's like
hierarchy of needs.
If, like, if you have like shelter and stuff like that and food, then you can start thinking about other stuff.
Yeah.
If you have no shelter, then you're just like, you don't have nothing.
Basic necessity to survive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say that was the biggest.
Did you feel that affected you physically?
Yeah. I remember feeling two things. It's like initially, like a deep sense of like fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was like, I feel like I'm tired anyway.
Yeah. You definitely have low iron.
Yeah, 100%. But I felt like that made me even more tired today. It was like
mental fatigue.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, like you have to go through a day again, mm-hmm. and it's just long, and you just can't. And like I could, like I'll be waking up at like 8 p.m. and it'd just be normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It didn't feel like thing. And then the second feeling after that was like a strong sense of motivation.
Mm-hmm.
To try and change mm-hmm. the circumstance, and yeah, so I'd say that was a really, really interesting mm-hmm. time. It would have been great to have the book then
mm-hmm.
as well mm-hmm. to take it. You know what's so funny as well? I remember just hearing one quote in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. It was from like Game of Thrones, and it was like Jon Snow, where he's up against an army that's like bigger than his, and then he's like, wars have been won against far greater odds.
Mm-hmm.
And then for some reason it was really comforting. Yeah, I mean,
it always goes back to war, man. This guy, man, you make him the leader of a nation. He's going straight to the next nation. I want your land.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you gotta do.
Yeah, that knocking the sharks. Yeah. Sharks is at the door.
Yeah, no, but that was a weird comforting quote for me at that time. But
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, that protects from that again.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I think like you said, I think housing is such an issue.
Mm.
Especially with Muslims as well. Obviously we don't believe in interest.
Yeah.
That's not something, it is forbidden for us.
Yeah.
And for rightfully so, there's so many negatives with interest.
Yeah.
And like you see in like society now, like I saw a woman who had I think she had a mortgage for like 25 years or something, and it jumped overnight from like $1,000 a month to like $2,500 a month.
Yeah.
Where that's suddenly like, that's almost half your salary if you're on like 50k or something.
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of money to just come out of nowhere.
Of course.
And that's somewhere you probably had like a couple children, you lived there 15 years or whatever.
Yeah.
Like there's so many issues with interest, and like obviously as Muslims, it's hard for us to find housing because of that. So we're often driven to private sector and all this stuff as a result. But yeah, man, I think housing is such an important thing, and I'm hopeful there'll be like some good housing solutions for Muslims in the future. But for now, I feel like we really do have to put that pressure on ourselves to get more wealthy, to be able to
of course
either buy or rent somewhere comfortable. But yeah, I don't know, a lot of us don't feel like we have any what do you call it, belief in being able to even buy, afford on in our lifetimes. So I think a lot of like worrying comes back to mentality as well. Like you accept the situation, but then like you also think about what's next. I think like the quote that you said, living daytime compartments is very important. I'm like a huge dreamer. For me, I'm like I can daydream for days, and like I don't need anything nowadays, to the point where I do feel like I can't sleep now without listening to something, because I feel like I think I dream too much.
Like, you think you dream too much, or do you feel like it's an underlying trauma? Because I got the same thing.
No, it's 100%. It might come, it's 100%, from something deeper. Like, I've grown up being someone who's very comfortable being by myself and not listening to things. But I also grew up very worried and very stressed, because I was constantly thinking too much and thinking about my thoughts a lot. So I feel like a coping mechanism I've developed in my 20s is just to listen to stuff while I'm trying to sleep, so I can sleep peacefully, which works, but I know it's not healthy, which is dangerous.
There's definitely something there that we might need to look into.
Yeah, so like I feel like I need to find different coping mechanisms to like think about, like just I guess be more comfortable in my own presence. So like the book we read in the last book reading session, Make Time, he talks about going out into nature, don't take your headphones out, like just go by yourself, innit? And I think that's very important, but I often struggle when I'm in those situations, because I start overthinking things.
Let's kind of unpack that a little bit. When you say that, like what is it? Is it you stress yourself out too much by overly thinking,
literally,
or you can't sit by yourself?
Let's say
you sat by yourself.
I find a lot of peace in being by myself, but I'll keep myself, my mind busy every time, because I would stress out,
stressing you out? What would be coming into your head?
Money, like making my family's life a bit more comfortable, making my own life a bit more comfortable. Where's my future gonna be? Where am I gonna live in the future? Like nowadays, like there's more and more propaganda against living in and staying in the UK. Which is funny, because like I personally don't see a life for myself outside the UK. I don't know. I've thought about it so many times, and I really like deep it a lot sometimes.
No, it's a fair point. I mean, this is home to a lot of us, you know?
And I get a lot of, like, because I see a lot of people moving and leaving, and like they really like push the propaganda. Like, I've got a sister that lives in Kenya now, who literally said, like, she's constantly non-stop about Kenya, innit? I'm like, it can't be that good. Not to be like Western media, but to that level,
nice, but
to that level where it's just constant propaganda. I'm just giving one example. And I've got cousins in Qatar, in Dubai, and like the way they talk about it, and like how compared to life here, and then I just think, but I feel like I'll be away from my communities. We talked about it with Nabil. We talked about Nabil in the Privatized Mandem episode. Like, is it really success if you move away from your community and leave it? Like, I do feel like I got a strong community here, like my friendship group as well. I don't feel like I could leave you guys and be happy.
That's very touching, man.
I'll be honest. Even my I got my in-laws here who are very supportive of us, and I really enjoy being around them. And then I got my own, like my mom's moved out of the country, which is sad. Like I feel like there's a big hole in my life because of that, you know? So like I often worry about where I'm gonna live, like not because of just pure money, but actually like
all the other stuff you just mentioned.
So like when I'm by myself, I do find that I need to find better coping mechanisms to manage my stresses out a bit, and that's where I do keep saying, like I often revert back to my notepad on my notes app just to clear my mind a bit, like start writing lists down of things. It always gives me a game plan, so like I've always naturally been inclined to writing down my worries anyway, but not in such a way where I'm addressing the worries.
Yeah,
like I've done that every now and then where I journal things, but I'd never done that consistently. But I consistently do write down things to address my worry, but not the worries themselves, you know.
Yeah,
that's where my, like my relationship is with worry, I would say, and like my headspace is
out. And when you say, when you go through, let's say those times,
mm-hmm.
at the end of it, how do you feel? Do you feel like it's do you feel like it's a constructive thought, or is it like it exacerbates the worry?
You mean like if I'm
like, let's say you're by yourself, you've gone
got no stimulation,
and you're going through all those thoughts and stuff like that, when it starts to like add towards the end of it, is it kind of like, okay, fine, this is what I have to do to fix it, or is it kind of like it doesn't really go, it kind of just sits there for another time for you to think about?
I think I've been blessed in the last couple of years where I've been able to work from home a lot.
Yeah,
like I think that's like been a massive game changer. Like my life has changed.
Yeah,
because purely because like if I'm commuting to the office, I got worried about taking the time to commute and not having as much time to downwind.
Yeah,
and during that commute itself it is jarring, and also like that's another time where I'm just gonna be myself thinking about myself. And then. What'd you call it? And then you're in the office in a space where it's not really a comfortable environment. Yeah. Like if you want to go to the toilet, it's a bit awkward. Like if you don't need number one, like there's just so many things. You want to go to the prayer room, for example.
Yeah.
Like there was one office I had to leave the building and go to another building, a 15-minute walk away, which was like most of my lunch would go to walk in between offices just to go pray.
Mm.
Which is not as much of an issue nowadays. Like a lot of companies are being a bit more inclusive about things, but like I think. The daily commute really put me in a place where I was so worried and so stressed, where I would often get really sick because of that.
Yeah.
Like my stomach, I wouldn't be able to leave the bed, my stomach would be hurting so much, or I'll be getting a lot of migraines. I'll call in sick so often that I'll get to a point where they'll give me a disciplinary. And I'm like, there was one time I went to the GP and I said like, I think I'm depressed because of stress at work. And they were like, tell your work that literally
that.
I was thinking, I might finally be able to get some therapy or some counseling.
Just tell your work that. That's wild.
I was like, but I already told my work that, but I felt like there was no way out at that point. But I just managed to cope. I just managed to survive, but it was always such a high pressure environment.
Yeah.
And I was, at the time,
you say you managed to survive, do you mean like you just got through it, or like you did anything to?
I just got through it. I just got through it day by day. Like it's gonna be another grueling day. I just got to survive.
That's actually kind of what's the 15-minute walk towards the prayer thing. That in itself being a thing where you're alone with your thoughts. That's deep, man. I mean, I think. I think when you were saying it, that like that's consistent
mental.
Nah, there was a word that was I remember listening to something about this a while back, which is like the feedback loop,
negative feedback loop
constantly in your head. That
exactly, and that's a very good point. So like I remember last year I got laid off for the first time in my career ever, and I started. Deep in, I was in my head. Like that was the worst period of my last 10 years. I would say in terms of just being in my own head.
Yeah.
Like negative feedback loops. I was constantly creating negative feedback loops.
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh, this happened because of this, and this happened because of this, and then I'll get more stressed.
And you get more, exactly.
Yeah. So I was trying to cope and make it into a more positive feedback loop by thinking about the good things and like the opportunities that could arise from it.
Yeah.
Like now looking back, I'm still in a place where I'm not quite happy with the way things played out, but I'm also accepting of how things played out, and I'm also a bit grateful for things because I've learned a lot in like since that happened. I've developed like massively, like I would say like if we're talking like a loading bar, I jumped from like let's say 20% loading, like let's say I was for the last 10 years I was loading up to like 20%, and in 1 year I feel like I've jumped to like 70%, like 70%. I'm ready to do anything in my life, and I'm comfortable, you know. I think like you said, negative feedback loops, people need to do their research around that. Like it's very important to understand and be aware that thinking about what you're thinking about on a daily basis, it can create habits in your head.
That's the crazy part, your
brain naturally just roots into.
And you know what the craziest thing is as well, it's like your brain develops and it develops different patterns. For example, if you're having a lot of this negative feedback loop before you go into sleep, then you start getting anxious towards sleep.
Yeah.
And like, that's true. That sleeping time. This, that's start like, doing procrastination. For me, that's when I started the listening to stuff to kind of block out that, that feedback loop. I remember there was a time that it was like very anxious kind tell of timing.
What, tell you what, headphone makers, yeah. Headphone makers, people who build headphones,
yeah,
they're having a laugh now. They're at an all-time high of people drowning out their thoughts.
Yeah. But it is mad, the fact that like how many people have to resort to
you're
that.
You're not the only person I've spoken to that says that they do that.
I mean, yeah.
I've seen a lot of
people. I know. And I was surprised by it. But like, like I was saying, for me, it was like, I remember, I think it was around the COVID kind of times, that I was just like going through like mad anxiety. Just, again, worries about what's the situations, what's life, all this kind of stuff, how to improve, and wanting so much now, that like sleep became a very tough thing. And then I remember I did go to, it wasn't the GP, I think that's where I went to actual like therapy thing.
It wasn't
really therapy, it was just kind of like
counseling,
behavioral, like cognitive behavioral therapy kind of thing. I think it was more
that is therapy though.
Yeah, it was, but I was expecting to lie down on the couch to yap at someone, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but it wasn't that. It was
bro wanted to vent. Yeah,
I know. I remember it was just a lady called Louisa on the email, and then it wasn't
in person.
We had like maybe one phone call, and then after that she was just like, okay, fine, hey, do this like thing of, like,
steps.
It wasn't even steps, it was like write down what you do every day, then talk about when the stress comes, and then talk about this and that. And then it just felt, after a while, it felt like homework. But what I did enjoy from that was just actually writing, because I never journaled it before. But it was just journaling that kind of stuff. And then I realized in that in my bedroom is where I would get a lot of anxiety. Then I was like, what the hell? Then I realized it's because it happens before I sleep. And then
but feng shui is so important.
Feng shui.
Yeah.
So important. For me, it didn't really help that much. It was just like, the moment I see the pillow, it's like, here we go.
For me, another thing for me, like, I feel mentally pressured if, like, I have clutter around me. I genuinely feel pressure and, like, stress.
Yeah, that's so, another thing. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's another thing from my childhood, like, just growing up in a big family. Yeah, there's always, like...
No, but I think that's an actual thing.
Yeah.
That they tell people to clean up their...
Yeah, like, the whole idea of feng shui is... create an environment that's comfortable for yourself. That you're able to be optimized in terms of like just living.
Yeah.
Like sometimes if like I'll create these negative feedback loops in my head where I'm going through a tough period, so I'll let myself go a bit in terms of I'll just stop like getting haircuts. Because when I don't get haircuts, I start looking rough in it. I stop getting haircuts.
Damned.
I still shower, don't worry. I'm not one of those guys, but I'll leave the clothes around. I'll leave clothes lying around a lot, like, and then like the piles of clothes start building up, and then I'll just start eating junk food, like just constant junk food. And then and junk food is expensive nowadays, which is another thing. You're like, damn. And then like you feel like you get to a point where, I wouldn't leave my room a lot.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'll be working from home, so I wouldn't leave my house for like a good couple of days.
Just icky and stuff.
Grungy. Kind of. Yeah. But there's like this massive cloud, like a mental fog in my head where I just don't want to do anything, don't want to see anyone, don't want to pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And like it's often in those areas, like if once I just like give myself a little spring clean, where like there's one day where I'm like, maybe it's like my batteries are charged a bit again, where I'm like, bunny, I have to get out of this. I go clean everything up, and I just feel like a completely different person.
Yeah.
And if I go there, trim as well, like now I'm feeling real good. You know. So man, I think getting that environment sorted as well is another very important thing.
No.
Which is why, like, for me, like, we're talking about worrying and putting ourselves in positions to stop worrying so much. Like, another reason, like, as I was like reading this book, I was just resonating with it so much, because I've been operating in a world where I'm constantly putting myself in high pressure environments. Like, my work itself, the nature of it is stress,
because
like it's always my work. I'm called if something wrong happens.
Yeah.
I'm the person responsible to fix it.
Yeah,
or make sure that it's being fixed. So like the nature of the work itself is stressful.
Yeah,
and because of that, I'm always on edge.
Mm.
I don't enjoy it. Like my manager's like
yeah, because I mean, obviously, I mean, if you're getting called just to deal with the problems.
Yeah.
you're like, the only reason why you called me right now is because something's up.
Yeah, and oftentimes I've also got, like, there's a lot of things that just go against my spirit. Like, I've got to also be the messenger of bad news to someone else then after. Mm. If I can't fix something, I got to go, like, especially if it's in, like, the nighttime, for example, yeah. I got to go call someone else. And then they, like, sometimes I got coached and be like, I'm, like, pissed at myself. I'm like, oh, I got called. I'm not trying to deal with this right now. But and now this guy's upset at me as well for calling
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to coach him now to, like, just, like, settle down, man. Let's just sort this out together.
Yeah, yeah,
both
yeah.
of us are responsible for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, yeah, that's, like, another annoying factor about yeah. it. And this is, like, this can happen at any time of the day. So, like, one of the ways I want to, like, just leave, like, put myself in a position where I'm worrying less is just put myself in an environment where I'm not dealing with that.
Mm.
So, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, what about money? But then I'm like, but am I ever going to operate at a point where I'm earning enough money to leave this career, like, to be in this career and be comfortable?
Mm.
No,
mm.
because the nature of the work itself
okay, yeah, yeah,
is stressful.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've got to leave this career yeah. and find an environment where I'm stable
yeah.
enough to go ahead and then do other creative yeah,
to,
things.
To
and
use that as a leverage to bounce up.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, have that feng shui mentally, mm. like, I got a routine. I know my work isn't that stressful.
Yeah.
There's different levels of jobs, and there's mm. some jobs that just mentally finish you. Like,
yeah.
I'd prefer to be physically, like, finished than mentally
yeah,
finished.
Yeah, of course.
Because then you can't do anything, like, creatively, yeah. which is a real driving yeah. force for our worries, I would say, as well.
Because also, even if you have the energy to do it, mentally you feel like you can't do it.
Yeah, because you don't have the juice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can't start a car, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that blank canvas is, like, one of the scariest things for an artist, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, even if you're, like, starting a video project, for example, like that's another, like, it's very scary to just start.
Yeah.
And when you don't have the mental energy to start, then where do you go? And yeah. like, how can you be consistent in any way, shape, or form?
Mm.
So I think really, like, putting yourself in an environment and like really thinking about, like, where is this worry coming from?
Yeah.
What's the worst case scenario? Does it make sense for you to stay in that position because yeah. of that? No. So, like, for me, I've come to the conclusion where, like, as I was listening to this book, I was like, damn, like, this is really resonating with me.
Yeah, yeah,
I was gonna say in the spot, but
yeah. yeah. To be fair, you texted me saying this is hitting the spot.
yeah, yeah, I know. But you commented on it now. So I gotta find other ways.
Nah, you can keep saying this is your thing. Put that on a t-shirt. You know what I mean?
Next time I'm gonna say it's pushing me out. Like, hook, line, and sinker. But for me, like, yeah, I've just come to so many conclusions as I'm reading this book. Like, I'm just like, yeah, it doesn't make sense logically for me to stay in a place where
you feel constantly
there's no
worried.
Room for growth
mentally.
Mm. So how can I possibly say, oh, I'm going to be a creative in the future? How can I possibly say, oh, I'm going to get wealthy? And that's where like, it's really helped me, I'd say, benefited me so far.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think then it also leads to the next part, which is the actually doing part.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I think one thing that he said was to come up with a definitive decision rather than a few options that sound good to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think and that is essentially, even for me, is kind of like you want to become someone that's, let's say, up there creatively, making it your profession, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good, but then now how do you actually do it?
Yeah.
How do you actually get there?
But for me, I'm like, that's the worry for later. Like, let me not think about tomorrow's jam. Let me worry about that later. Let me put myself in a bit more of a stable position first.
I think that's where we differ, because I feel like, for me, it's like, I recently listened to an Ali Abdaal video where he was kind of talking about a guy who was like 30, he was a teacher and he was trying to become financially free, and he had no idea how to kind of go about it. And having no idea is also another sign, like, can bring on the worry, stress, by being like, okay, cool, I don't know how to fundamentally go somewhere.
Uncertainty.
Yeah, exactly. Where he was showing a diagram of like a tent and a camp on one side, and then someone starting to trail out on one side, where it's kind of like, if a person knows, okay, I'm going to take this trail route, take a left or right, go up over this little hill, and then I'll get to my destination this way. And then they can put blinkers on and then just go about their way of kind of doing it. Whereas, so now, when that kind of stuff is what takes me out of the rut, knowing where I'm going.
Yeah, having a plan.
Having a plan. Definitively, of being like, okay, this is, for this day, I'm going to record this, that, and edits this, and then, because eventually it does all lead to a bigger plan, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was like, for example, I remember at the beginning, it was just kind of like, what's the point of making videos that aren't going to go viral? Then I realized it's not necessarily about that. It's like still making videos. Obviously, eventually one of them will pop, but on top of that, you're also building a catalog and you're also getting better. So then when that opportunity meets that bit of fortune, then you're ready to actually kind of do it. Like the, I think the best example is like Kevin Hart, where he was writing material for his special for a long time, and he was about to tape it, and just before that time came, Shaq asked him, listen, I've got this all-star thing, do you want to do this, you know, a comedy set? And then he said it was fortunate enough that he had that piece written, otherwise that opportunity would have just passed him by, we would have not been ready for it.
Yeah, you got make your own luck and be ready to take the lucky opportunities up.
Yeah, because opportunities come by. Like even now, it's like
people, especially when you put yourself out there,
people are like, okay, what do you do? And then you've got like, okay, this is what we do, this is Inspired. Even that's how I was getting the guests previously, even though we didn't have videos, we still had a catalog of episodes that was like on podcasts and stuff like that to listen to. So it's like, okay, cool, you're actually doing something. So it's like, for me, it was always like that something has to be the big thing. Where necessarily now I'm realizing it doesn't. But you're just taking small steps that will obviously lead you to the trail, you know?
And when you deep it, like we're 1.5 seasons of doing things consistently again for the first time in 4 years. So like technically you're a beginner. If you're in a career, like if you're in retail, someone who's just 1 year, not even 1 year, let's say, like if we're talking about a season for us is less than 1 year. If it's 20 episodes, it's 20 weeks, it's half a year. So if you're someone who's working in a retail environment for half a year, you're not gonna become a manager. Unless you're like, you're naturally really like gifted at talking to people and managing people. So like you really, I think, and we've already started seeing like people reaching out to us naturally. And we're not even really putting ourselves out there. So I think for you, I think you do definitely need to balance your expectations.
No, no, that's what it is. Like I said, I'm too much, just like you, I'm too much of a daydreamer. And I think my head is always in the clouds way much.
What if, all right, cool. So I don't know what you, what like you said, taking steps to write down specifically where you want to be or whatever. But what if you set yourself like a target, like something very low level, like, okay, three people reach out to us this year. Like if it happens, like it's a good thing technically. But are you gonna be ungrateful for it? Like,
what do you mean?
Like free opportunities for us. Let's say sponsorships or whatever, guests or publishers reaching out to us. Like if you had set that at a very low bar.
No, that'd be great. It's just kind
but
of
if you
like,
say okay, but like that hasn't happened so far. But if it does happen, it's great. Like how would that work in terms of your patience and stuff?
Okay, so like essentially that's a very good question, because that was something that was actually I was thinking about as well. And it's just kind of like, for example, I remember before I even started or kicked off Inspire again, I had like written down different phases. So like phase one, phase two, phase three.
Which are very idealistic, I would say.
You know? But it was kind of like, so then the phase one, okay, I named it like the restart. Right, so starting off the thing, getting podcast studio, doing all this kind of stuff, etc., you know, garnering the people, the audience, etc., all this kind of stuff, right? And then it's like I already know, or I have a vision in my head of like where it would go when all of that kind of stuff does happen. So it's like when that opportunity does come, or like when we get to that level, it's not like hit by surprise. It's kind of okay, this is just a step to get to this part now. So like it's like the reaching out stuff, and I haven't lowballed anything, because I'm just like, okay, in the beginning, this is how it would be. This is part of the thing. And then but then stage 3, 4, and then it's like that's when you're really up there. So it's like, but I'm just constantly wanting that right now, without forgetting that I actually written down phases to get to that that step. And that's like essentially kind of how I see it. It's more like a vision that I see.
Do you review that regularly? Do you review that regularly?
I review that regularly, and I've like put actual numbers to it to see like when we're getting towards that, which I'll show you after as well. Of like when it feels like we are ready to get into like the next phase, essentially. You know?
Yeah, I think we ran out of time anyway. Yeah. But yeah, I think this is a very deep topic we can talk about for a long time. But yeah, it kind of relates to the other previous episodes we talked about. About what's stopping you, talked about making time. And yeah, I feel like next week is May. I think we're coming up to half a year soon. End of May, I feel like we should do a 6-month review.
Catch up,
Where we are. But yeah, oh. I mean, another really enjoyable book for me. Nothing, something that will work for a lot of people, and like you don't have to read the whole thing in one go like we did, but take your time with it and really digest some of the points that you made. But yeah, I definitely recommend it.
Yeah, no, 100%. So if you guys enjoyed that one, let us know what you guys think. I would say, like I said, I'd highly recommend it for anyone that feels like they're not where they want to be right now or where they're going. Definitely all your friends or someone you know that you would recommend it to, definitely share it. And we really appreciate you guys sticking by, listening. And as always, we shall see you guys in the next one.
Thank you very much for listening.
Keep moving, keep growing, keep learning. See you at work.